On Friday, we gathered here in church to watch the service of thanksgiving for the years of service of Her Majesty Queen Elizabeth. The commentator for that service was David Dimbleby. He, along with Hugh Edwards, do seem to have cornered the market somewhat in commentating on major state occasions. And I admire them. I know all of them, actually, truth to tell. I know that they do their homework and make up a part script in advance. But summoning up the right word to say at the right time to explain the splendour and majesty of the occasion must be really difficult. Sometimes, though, words can fail us. I'm sure even David Dimbleby and Hugh Edwards, words fail, perhaps not David Dimbleby, to Hugh Edwards, and even then, sometimes words may fail them. No matter how eloquent the person writing or speaking may be, words can fail to convey a particular experience or event. In our reading from Acts, which John read for us this morning, incidentally, if you're ever on a reading rota, Pentecost is not the day to be reading, but thank you, John, you read that wonderfully. It's one of the most difficult readings there is, so thank you for reading it for us. In that reading, Luke finds himself at the very limits of language as he writes of the Pentecost experience. He writes, "When the day of Pentecost had come, the disciples were all together in one place, and suddenly from heaven there came a sound like the blowing of a violent wind and filled the house where they were sitting. Then we have what seemed like tongues of fire that came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit, and they began to speak in other languages as the Spirit enabled them to do so." So Luke reports that the sound was like the rush of a violent wind. We had something that seemed like tongues of fire. That is, it's not just wind. It's not fire, no matter how dramatic those things are by themselves, but something like wind and fire, with a power and energy, something that really lies beyond our comprehension and understanding. The Pentecost experience was such an amazing creative force that has rippled through space and time ever since. Archbishop Justin Welby likens Pentecost to the Big Bang, as all Christianity radiates outward from that moment. Like the Big Bang, it is the start of something, and something beyond our comprehension. It is the start of something huge, something universal. It is the start of the church, which is why Pentecost is often referred to as the birthday of the church. The impact can be seen clearly in the person of Peter. 50 days earlier, Peter denied he even knew Jesus. In the 50 days since, he first hid out of the way because he was afraid he'd be arrested, but then Jesus appeared to him and the disciples, and after Jesus' ascension, he worshipped with the others in the temple in Jerusalem. And then, after something like wind, something like fire, Peter becomes an extraordinarily bold evangelist, and as they proclaim the good news of Jesus, people from around the world heard the gospel in their own mother tongue. The places listed make up the known areas of the world at the time. How did it happen? We don't know. We don't have the words. Peter and the disciples probably didn't have the words either, but it was the Holy Spirit that enabled the impossible to become the reality. That morning of Pentecost, and the Holy Spirit came with such power that words could not fully convey the experience. The first thought of those seeing and hearing the disciples was that they were drunk. The crowd was, I think, actually onto something. The disciples were indeed intoxicated. They were under the influence, they really were, but not from alcohol. It's only 9 o'clock in the morning, as Peter says. They were under the influence of the Holy Spirit. We too receive the Holy Spirit, as Jesus did, through our baptism, when we're symbolically washed clean in the water and anointed with oil. That is when we call on the Holy Spirit to come and be in this place and with that person. There are other times that we are anointed as well. For those of you who confirmed at your confirmation you were anointed, and for those with dog collars, at ordination you're anointed. And last month I was anointed here, and I've been licensed as a vicar here in the church. Anointing then often comes at the start of something new. It marks a new chapter. Anointing is a sign of us opening up ourselves to receive and become intoxicated by the Holy Spirit. Our Queen, as we know, was anointed at her coronation. In private, she was anointed when prayers were offered that the Holy Spirit would be part of her life as Queen and witness as a Christian. It is interesting to note that the word Christ itself means anointed one. And we walk our anointed life and our anointed faith with our anointed witness, with Christ as our guide. The people thought the disciples were drunk, but really they were anointed and transformed by the Spirit so that they would bear good fruit. And what are these fruits of the Holy Spirit? Well, St. Paul tells us in his letter to the Galatians, he tells us the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. And then he concludes that chapter 5 with these words, since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. The disciples received the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost. The Spirit was like the sound of a blowing wind. They saw what seemed to be like tongues of fire. They had no words to really describe what was happening. But they did know that when the Spirit moved in them, they were transformed. The Queen was anointed at her coronation and vowed to serve God and country in the best way she could. A vow, to my mind, she has truly kept over 70 years. We receive the Holy Spirit when we open ourselves up. We receive the Holy Spirit at our baptism. We receive the Holy Spirit when we come together to praise God, to receive sacrament. Let us allow ourselves to be intoxicated by the Spirit and be God's people of love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. If we, as a community, can bear witness to these gifts, then the transformation to us as individuals, the transformation to us as a church here at St. Martin's, the transformation to the church globally, will be beyond all words. Amen.